This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We've got a great variety of programs and interviews to wrap up the year. Wanted to check in with State Senator Floyd Prezanski, Democrat out of Eugene. We haven't spoken with him in a while. Floyd, thanks for being on today.
Kyle, thank you very much for the opportunity.
So, first of all, I want to get your comment on the resignation of Dallas Hurd from the State Senate.
Well, I was very surprised. Dallas and I had a pretty good relationship through his tenure there. I know he had some difficult times with some of the issues that were before us. But also reading his press release to his constituents, he had a priority of family, and he's got kids that need him to be closer to home. And clear, as you well know, it's a five-month gig when we're in the odd year-long session. And knowing the travel that I'd have to do when I go back and forth from district into Salem, he has to go another hour, an hour and a half on top of that. So I truly recognize his services to the state, and also I think his wise decision and for his family to be home where he's needed.
So let's back up and review the election. Talk about changes to the makeup of the state Senate.
Well, the state Senate, going into the election, it was 18 Democrats, and depending on, you could say 12 Republicans, but two, including Dallas, had gone to the independent status. But long and short of it is that you'll see a change of one less Democrat, and I assume at this point the Republicans are going to coalesce to 13. But I'm not positive if Senator Boulquist is going to be re-establishing himself with the Republican Party or if he's going to stay as independent, maybe caucus with them. You know, the ironic thing, this is a little bit of a sidebar. In my election, I had the nominations from the primaries for both the Democrats and the Republicans. So I've been waiting for the Republicans to give me my invite since I've been elected as a Republican and as a Democrat to be a dual caucus bipartisan member.
And so far that hasn't happened, huh?
That has not happened yet. I'll talk to Tim Canope in more detail, but that's just one of those things. People have asked me, do I get to caucus with both caucuses now? I don't think that's going to happen, but if given the opportunity, I'd love to.
Now, a big change for the Senate, Peter Courtney's retirement.
It's really big. Peter Courtney was the longest-serving legislator in Oregon's history. He has been the president of the Senate since 2003 when they were tied 15-15. This was prior to me coming into the Senate in end of 2003, after session. And some big shoes to be filled. The individual that will be taking his place, at least who's been nominated as the president-elect, is a gentleman by the name of Rob Wagner, who lives in the Lake Oswego area. And so it will just be significant change, as you can imagine. Having somebody with as much depth and experience as Peter, we are going to see significant changes in how the chamber runs, and I think how negotiations go.
What do you think some of those changes will be?
Well, I'm just not sure. I have asked to be part of the chamber rules review every 2 years. Both chambers, the House and the Senate, have the rules that we operate as a chamber reviewed. And so I assume that there's going to be a discussion as to what we want to change, needs to be changed compared to what we've had in the past. I think that the decorum, I really hope that it doesn't get any worse than what it seems to have been over the last 6 to 8 years. I really am going to make a point to try to bring everyone together. This is one of those opportunities with you, when you do have such significant change, that maybe by changing the players, maybe attitudes will also follow suit, and we'll get back to what I first started off back in my days in the House, of a much more collegial approach of Republicans and Democrats leaving their party stripes at the door of the Capitol, coming in and working as a unit of 90 individuals for the betterment of the state. You know, we just got to do something different than having these lines drawn in the sand without even having the opportunity to sit down and discuss it.
Governor Kate Brown term limited out. Incoming governor-elect Tina Kotek, what differences do you expect from her versus Kate Brown?
Well, that's going to be significantly different, I think, because with Tina Kotek being the Speaker of the House for as long as she was, I believe, close to 10 years, she comes in with a different perspective than Kate did, because Kate was not the president of the Senate. And so both of them have the skill sets of running caucuses, as well as for in this case, Tina having that extra experience of being the Speaker of the House. Now, I would think that we're going to see an individual who will be much more determined in moving forward whatever agenda she brings forward. I hope that we have the understanding that there is a separation of powers. Tina represents or will be representing the executive branch, and we on the legislative side will be doing the legislative branch. So I'm hoping that those memories don't fade and that we can actually work together in unison for the betterment of the state.
What do you expect the legislative priorities for 2023 to be?
Well, the ones that I'm most familiar with is the public defense services. As you well know, Oregon has fallen behind, and we are at a stage now with this is nothing to be proud of. We have over 600 individuals who have been charged with crimes that are eligible for public defense services that do not have an attorney assigned to them. That's 600 people, and they're out of custody. As of 2 days ago when I was talking to the Chief Justice, it appears at that time we had 80 individuals who are in jail that are not represented by counsel. And as I've been a prosecutor in this state now, 34 years, and I cannot believe that we are in a state that we do not have individuals who have been charged by the government with the crime, not represented, that have the constitutional right, and we have the duty to provide for. So that's going to be one of our biggest issues to be dealing with, and that's being dealt with currently through a tri-branch work group that I and then a representative, Paul Evans, have been heading up. So we'll bring up part of the packages that need to be done. This will be probably a year-and-a-half project to make the complete changes we need. The other area is from the Citizen Initiative being passed this last time, ballot measure 114, dealing with the requirement of having a permit to purchase a firearm, having limitations on magazine size, capacity. That also is going to need to be reworked. In the sense of making sure it actually can be carried out, taking in the will of the voters, but at the same time making certain we're not being duplicitous and making sure it's efficiency as well. So I'm hoping that that will be through the judiciary committees, whether it's going to be a joint committee or a single committee with the other one participating through that process. That's still to be determined. But I've already started working with my colleagues on the Republican side of the Senate as to setting the framework and groundwork that we will need to be successful in this.
With this measure largely being on hold right now, do you feel like it's going to go through multiple levels of legal action before a final determination is made?
For the course of 114 now being and with the injunctions on all parts of it, and we need to keep in mind we have a federal court case, our challenges, there are four that are there and one that's in the state. The state injunctions are the ones that are in place that are have more longevity. The one that the federal court put in was had a 30-day limit, and that was for the permit to purchase, did not receive one for the magazines. I hope that what we have is a sufficient amount of time through those injunctions for the legislature to step in. This is a statutory change by the voters and actually work it within as we normally do from putting implementation language and basically look at some of the stuff that has unintended consequences built into it, unfortunately, and that I hope that my colleagues and I will be able to actually bring forward a legislative fix to 114 that will still honor the will of the voters, but at the same time make certain that we are not violating the individual's constitutional rights.
Going to take a break and come back with Floyd Brzezinski in just a moment. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 inside Douglas County, News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1, KQEN Local Talk at 4, Mike Winters, Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Lawn and Garden Show. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, we'll talk with staff from the Boys and Girls Club of the Umpqua Valley. State Senator Floyd Brzezinski with us now. I think it was yesterday the state's Environmental Quality Commission made a decision on banning gas-powered new car sales in 2035. That has gotten a lot of attention from both vantage points of in the affirmative or in the negative. But one question a lot of people have asked is, shouldn't a decision of this magnitude come from lawmakers?
Well, yeah, I would agree with that. The way we got where we're at is an executive order that was entered by the governor that started us down the path. Now, one of the things, I was actually at a meeting this morning, 7 o'clock, with one of the school districts I'll be representing new. And in that discussion, we had Senator Beyer there, as well as Representative Lively. And during that conversation, we actually brought up, the point is that the manufacturers of automobiles have already laid out a framework of basically stop making combustible engines in 2030 or 2035. So I would assume, and I'm only assuming because I was not engaged or involved in any of this, that the agency took those things in consideration in setting the time. But I saw it on the news just like many people did last night, and I'm going like, what? So this is one of those things that we will probably have some discussions during the legislative session to determine whether or not the path that DEQ has put forward is the correct path and the time frame and timeline is appropriate.
Well, and normally if you're on a commission, you're under another governing body and you normally make a recommendation to the other body, whether it's the city council or the legislature or wherever it might be, and the elected officials are the ones that make the decision.
Well, it does, but we don't. I mean, it's just like the forestry board has a lot of independence as well. So we do have some commissions and boards that have that more authority than others.
Let's talk about your priorities in particular for this upcoming session and items of legislation that you're working on.
Well, the two that I talked about, the Public Defense Services and Measure 114, are important to me because those are things I feel that the public want to have and need to have addressed immediately. One of my goals, Kyle, is really, you know, I'm going to be taking a new position in the legislature. I will be the senior member, meaning years tenure, in the Senate, and I believe I will be the longest-serving member in the Oregon legislature, meaning I think I have more tenure in my positions as a House or Senate member than any of the House members. So one of the things I really want to start working to is what I made a reference to, is getting us back to a nonpartisan bittering type of event that we've seen that it's really taken on across this country, many other states, and I've always prided Oregon to be different. I hate to say it, that I can't say that's true today. And what I want to try to do is start breaking down these barriers and getting people back together and sitting down and talking. I mean, my constituents, and I actually was at a conference this last week in Arizona, and I talked to the individual that was driving me to the airport, and we had the frank same discussion. We need people to sit down and talk. We need people to work together, and we can't be in silos. And this is one of those things that I really, really hope that we start making some changes in, because that is how Oregon's been able to move forward in the past, And I don't think we can move forward together as a state when we allow for these barriers and silos to continue to disrupt the ability for us to work together.
So if you are now the most senior member of the legislature, do you get a discount at the cafeteria?
I wish we had a cafeteria to go to, but because of the construction that's going on, with the seismic upgrades, we will not have access to even our lounge that we pay for people to come in and cook food for us. And as far as I understand, I believe that the cafeteria that's downstairs for the general public is also out of commission while they're doing that seismic work. Now, we will have the Capitol back open. I think it's really important for everyone to understand that hopefully you will come up and visit the Capitol. The wings for both of the House and Senate for all of our offices are open, as well as on the main floor of the Capitol, the extension that off the old building. We have 6 hearing rooms there, and then we have another 3 in another side area that will be used for hearings. So we will be functioning as best we can. We won't have the rotunda open and stuff, so people will not be able to do those type of Capitol tours. But I do hope that we allow for individuals as well as school groups to come back into the Capitol and be part of the process. So the chambers will also be open. That's where we will be voting on bills. And so everyone will have that opportunity to participate who want to come up for a day. You just unfortunately won't be able to get into where the rotunda is.
Now, will you retain the chairmanship of the Judiciary Committee?
At all accounts, I believe I am. I'm talking with the president-elect, and he's given me all indications that I will still be chairing the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Any particulars other than what you've already mentioned about what that committee might address?
Well, we have a lot on our plate to be addressing. This committee, and one of the reasons I really enjoy it, is because it's such a diverse subject matter of material, both criminal and civil, as well as other areas. We have the 110 measure that was passed by the voters 2 years ago. That's still within the jurisdiction of judiciary. We have more work to be done on it and prioritizing within there. And I don't have my full list, but I can tell you that we introduced as a committee over 100 bills. Some of those are what we call placeholder bills. They give us a relating call. So as we're doing our work during the session, if we have something that we need to move forward quicker than having something drafted or it's after time deadlines, we have bills that we can actually use to be a vehicle to put other matters in. Now, they go through the complete public hearing, but they're just sitting there as to, like, relating to crime, relating to courts. And that way, if we have a need to address something that comes up, we can pull those. So we have probably actively about 60, 65 bills that will be introduced for the committee, or have been introduced, I should say, in the last legislative days at the first of this month. And so we will be working day to day. We are one of the committees that meets 4 days a week. We are on the same line. Well, I think revenue may have dropped back on the number of days they meet, but it is a high-profile committee that we put the time in, and we have usually about twice as much bandwidth in the sense of hearing times than other committees in the legislature.
Now, the state seems to be losing a lot of jobs. We had Intel deciding to build a new facility elsewhere, number of companies around Portland leaving. Should lawmakers be doing something to retain jobs and get more into the state?
We do. I mean, this is an ongoing process. As you know, every state is competing against each other, trying to bring jobs to their state and for their constituents, and also a lot of times means a shift in population from one state to another. You know, Oregon is in a unique situation where we have had a growth in our population. That's why we now have 6 congressional districts as compared to 5. And we also need to look at, I think, the issues of how we get individuals back to work. This COVID has really shifted a lot of people's perspectives on the type of work they're doing, the amount of work they're doing, and we know that we see the need for more resources and more workers.
All right, we'll talk again soon. State Senator Floyd Przanski, thanks for being on today.
Kyle, thank you very much. Be well and enjoy the holiday season.
1258 on Inside Douglas County, News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.